Okay, everyone. We're going to move into our second teaching tonight. And this is the one that's entitled, It's Not About You. Okay, so if you just move your folder onto It's Not About You. And this will be taken from 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 15. And so I'll start with just sharing that scripture with you. And this is about David and Saul, and how David spares Saul. Now it happened, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David with his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the shepherds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. Or in some scriptures we're going to be seeing as we go through this, some say he went in to relieve himself. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, This is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterwards. He went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, My Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stopped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, Why do you listen to the words of men who say, Indeed, David seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. Know and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you. Yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? Therefore, let the Lord be judge, and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand. And that's taken from 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 15. So let's look at the key words in that whole chapter. Well, the first key word would be, what did he do? Well, it tells us that he went into the cave to just tend to his natural needs, to go to the bathroom, to relieve himself, or tend to his needs, whatever your particular interpretation states. But then we go on to see, he calls him in verse 6, the Lord's anointed. Now, the Lord's anointed does not imply that Saul still enjoyed the Lord's anointing. Rather, it shows that David had an unfailing reverence for the anointing, for the king of the Lord. And then thirdly, my hand will never be against you. That's in verse 13. So verse 13 is telling us that he will not harm him. His hand will never be against him. It also tells us that it's important to seek God's perspective in each situation that we face as we move through life, to seek the Lord's perspective. God's wisdom and word may dictate a different course of action than people may share with you or than circumstances would suggest. Now in 1 Samuel 24, 1-2, it's really focusing on what I'm going to share with you next. David, who was God's preordained future king, had great success in all of his battles. He became the celebrated hero of the Israelites. Saul, who was the current king, was angered that his people sang praises of David's victories over his own victories. So right there, what are we seeing crop up here between the two of them? We're seeing a jealousy, aren't we, that's happening between David and Saul. Saul's ongoing jealousy and hatred against David led him to pursue David. David went into hiding. Saul's desire to get what he wanted or to have things his way caused pain to himself, to David, and to the kingdom that Saul was destined and was assigned to lead. So I think what it's saying there to us is that because of the ongoing jealousy between David and Saul, it was causing problems not only for them, but for the people around them. So when we're in a situation and we have different emotions, negative emotions, jealousy being one of them, rise up and we succumb to it, give in to it, it not only causes problems within us, but it causes problems for those that we are harboring those thoughts toward or actions toward, but also in our families, in those around us. And so the same thing we see is happening here. When Saul should have been ruling his kingdom, what Saul was doing was chasing after David in anger. Pardon me. So instead of doing what the Lord had assigned him to do, had asked him to do, had called him to do, he's distracted. He's not doing his job. He's not doing what should happen, what he should be doing, but his chasing after David in anger. That really sounds familiar to me, as to a lot of things that are happening in the world today. But we're seeing that you know, Saul is not doing what the Lord has anointed him and called him to do. We read in the previous chapter, it appeared that Saul was closing in on David. That was in 1 Samuel 23:26. Just when we might believe that it's all ending, that the end is near, the scales tip then in David's favor. So life can be like that for us. Just when we believe that all hope is gone, God comes through with a twist of events in our life or in our relationships. So we've learned not to consider a life story complete until God puts the period after the end. So again, as we said earlier, we want to seek God's perspective as to what we're dealing with. God's perspective into the negative emotion of jealousy that may be rising up between us and someone that we know or someone that we love, someone that we're close to. And how that then affects our life, it affects their life, but it also affects the lives of those close to us. So let's look down to the first highlighted question that says, what do you do if the person you are in conflict with is the one being selfish, or we could say the one being jealous, or whatever the negative emotion that comes to your mind when you hear this and apply it to your own life? So we'll take a few minutes to do that.